Well, good morning again. I have a message that I prepared for last week, and I want to bring that to you today, and it's called New Beginnings. After all, we're at the beginning of the new year, and I thought we should talk a little bit about that. It's kind of appropriate for the season, but before we do, we're just going to ask for the Lord's help. Father, we're just so thankful for who you are this morning, and Lord, even as we've been able to praise you together, to worship, Lord, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, that your love is so amazing, Lord. It causes us to sing. And Father, it's good, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord. For in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Lord, as we would turn to your word now, Father, we would ask that you would just bless our time together. Lord, that we would hear your voice. That, Father, you would speak to our hearts as only you can do. And that, Lord, you would just build us up in our faith today. Draw us close to you, we pray. Father, bless the Sunday school as it's going on. And, Lord, we just ask for your presence with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a new year. And does anybody here make New Year's resolutions? I've tried a few times in my life, and I have never been successful. You know, that's just my story. Perhaps you've had something better than that, right? But it is a time when people look for new beginnings and new everything, right? And hopeful that the new year will be better perhaps than the last. Forget about the old things and start with the new. And so we look for resolutions, we look for new beginnings, we look for renewal. But the question is, will it be? And is it within our power anyway? Right? I mean, those are good questions for us to make. And sometimes we feel that, well, if I just set my mind to it hard enough, if I try hard enough, I will in fact lose the 20 pounds that I want and need to lose. But sometimes we know that we struggle with that, right? So I want to open with two passages of scripture this morning, Revelation 21:5 and 2 Corinthians 5:17 as our opening texts, and we'll come back to those in depth. Revelation 21:5 says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' The one who sits on the throne says, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If we're in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this morning we're thinking about new beginnings at the beginning of a new year. And obviously for us, we're thinking about the fact that it is God who brings about new beginnings. Well, the story is told of a man in London who was trying to sell a warehouse. He was a businessman. He was getting out of selling his properties. He was up in years. And he had a warehouse in the industrial district, but you know, it had been left abandoned for many years and had been vandalized, you know, the graffiti on the outside and the broken windows and the birds living on the inside and everything just in total disrepair in the old industrial sector. So he put it up for sale, hoping that he could sell it. And eventually someone came along who was interested. And as he took him out to show him the property, he said, "Now look, I want you to understand that I'm gonna fix this up for you. I mean, the purchase price, I'm gonna put new windows, I'm gonna paint the doors, I'm gonna clean up the building so it's nice for you. I just want you to be aware of it." Because he was hoping to make the sale. But to his surprise, the buyer said, "Oh, that won't be necessary." He says, "I have no intentions for this building." He says, "I'm interested in the site. I'm gonna tear this building down and I'm gonna build something completely different, so don't worry about it. I just want the site. I'm not interested in the building. I'm just going to tear it down and I'm going to build something new." We'll come back to that story as we go through. But I want to read to you the first verse that we read in Revelation 21 is speaking of future things. And so I want to read to you just a few verses in context from that chapter. So I'm in Revelation 21. I'm going to read from verses 1 through 8. So we want to understand the context of Revelation 21:5, that the one who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I'm going to make all things new." We are in fact speaking of future things. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. This is John, the apostle John. He's exiled at this point in his life. He's late in years and he's been exiled to an island in the middle of who knows where called Patmos. And the Lord is giving him a vision of future things. This is the book of Revelation. That's what he's seeing. He's seeing a new heaven and a new earth because the first one has passed away and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then our verse that we've read. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we're obviously speaking here of future things. But you know, that's part of our hope as Christians this morning is the future state, and that not all things will continue as we have known them. And John has this amazing vision, right? And he sees that the former things have passed away. And so we understand from this passage, right, that what we see around us will not be in the future, right? That it says there'll be no more sea. That's interesting. Right? All the former things will have passed away. The earth as we know it today will not remain. It will change. It will not continue. The nations as we know them today will not continue. I mean, it's the reality is Canada will not continue as a nation, nor will any nation on this planet continue. It will change. Life as we have known it will not continue. There's coming a day when God is going to make all things new. And he says the former things have passed away. All that the earth has known will pass away. The way of life, the way of the nations, the way of this world and the world itself is going to pass away. That's what verse 4 clearly states. The former things have passed away. And you know, we might look at that with a little note of sadness because, you know, I do like the ocean. I do like the beachfront property, right? And yet what God has prepared is obviously glorious. Look at the state of things here, right? The former things have passed away. Praise God for that. You know, because the reality is that even though we have times that are good here and we praise God, we bless God for those precious times that we have. I enjoy the walk on the beach as much as any other. I don't know if you heard Carolyn's story this week of getting chased by a seal. So be careful when you're on the beach. Do not approach the seals. I mean, I was warned about this when I first came to Cape Breton 2 years ago. Somebody in Marguerite says, Mark, never go near a seal. They're vicious. They hate people. Carolyn was trying to be nice, but the seal didn't like that. So we have nice times in this life. I enjoy sitting on the beach and enjoying the beauty of God's creation, but all of it's going to change. And the reality is, and we know this by experience, we know it from the news every day that the world is filled with violence, it is filled with hatred, it is filled with evil of every sort. And it's got great and deep troubles. And it just seems to me, as I think about things, as I look at the news, it seems like the world is on a crash course for absolute collapse and disaster. It's just that way. I can't get the word out. Maddeningly, no, that's not a word. Maddeningly, so. But I also want you to notice from this passage, right, who's going to make it new. In verse 5, I, the one on the throne, will make it all new. It's not going to be the United Nations. It's not going to be the governments and the politicians of this world. It's not even going to be the church. Christ says, I make all things new. Just as he does in our hearts and lives, so he will be the one that will make all things new, wrap up everything, and make it new. Praise God. The world as we know it is going to change. And it's going to be a glorious thing. Look at the state of things here. What will it be like to dwell with God in presence? I mean, you know, we think of the Israelites and God was with them. But you know, in those days, under the law, there was a separation, wasn't there? That veil in the temple was between them and the Holy of Holies. God's power and his holiness were in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and they didn't go near the mountain lest they die. And yet God was with them. They had that visible presence of God's power with them. It was a precious thing that they abused. But we're going to dwell with the Lord, and he's going to be with us. And look what it says about this time, right? God's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's a beautiful thing. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Not just the physical earth as we know it, But all of that evil and sin that exists in the world is going to be dealt with once and finally. And we'll enter into that beautiful state with the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So future things. And we look forward to that. That's something we look forward to as the Lord's promise to us. And of course, you know, there are times when we're maybe even tempted as Christians to say, well, Lord, is it ever going to happen? You know, I mean, you know, time's kind of progressing here and so on. And yet we see from scripture, right, that God's word always comes to pass. Always. Whatever he says comes to pass. We have the proof of scripture, or the proof of prophecy, and we know and believe the Lord that this will also come to pass. And we're going to consider, you know, even nature itself teaches us this. The Lord's built it into the cycle of seasons. We have the fall and winter, death. Everything changes, sadly. We have spring, renewal of life, new beginnings. Everything made new once again. And even in our seasons, we see this truth that God will make all things new. Not only in the physical world, praise God, but in our hearts and lives as individuals and people. And so we look forward to the future, to this future state of a new heaven and a new earth. And what a blessing it will be. You know, global warming is coming. But it's a scriptural global warming. I want to read to you from 2 Peter concerning this end of the ages, if you will, because it's future. We need to understand what the Lord's going to do in a coming day. And it is judgment for this world, and that's a sad thing, but it's coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I'll read 5 verses here with you. In 2 Peter 3, verse 7, it said, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the day, that's the age we're in right now. We're in the day of grace, the church age, if you will. We're in that period where God is calling men and women to come to him by faith and receive eternal life. Praise the Lord. It's a day of mercy. It's a day of grace. And the Lord is long-suffering. He's patient. You know, we say, well, you know, come Lord Jesus. And yes, we do. Praise the Lord. But yet we also realize, right, that God knows the times. And so he's patient. "But the day of the Lord will come," verse 10, "as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." There's your global warming. The fire of God is going to consume everything. And I believe it. I take this passage literally myself. I know that there's different views on that. We respect all that. I take it literally. It's going to melt with fervent heat. And I don't believe it's a nuclear blast of man. I believe it is the fire of God. And he will make all things new. He will consume all these things. And we see pictures of God's judgment in the Old Testament, right? We saw the flood was the first worldwide judgment of God because man had become so wicked. Only 8 souls were saved on the ark, Noah and his family. All the rest were wiped out. Millions of people died in the flood, the great flood. That was an evidence. And God put a rainbow in the sky after that, said, "I'll never judge the world in this manner again." But the day of judgment is coming. The day of the Lord, it is called. And it's coming as a thief in the night. It will come suddenly and unexpectedly upon the people of this world. And everything is going to melt and burn up. Verse 11, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Praise the Lord. There's coming a day in which righteousness will dwell and the Lord himself will reign. And if we were to take the time this morning, which we won't, to read on in Revelation, we would see that, you know, when that new Jerusalem comes down and the new heaven and the new earth, nothing which defiles will enter in, nothing which offends, but only righteousness. Praise the Lord. What a day that will be. What a society it'll be like, right? When there's no evil there, when there's no wickedness, there's only righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. That's a future hope that we have. And Jesus says, "I'm going to make all things new." And we as Christians look for a new heavens and a new earth, as the scripture says. We're looking for that. We're living a godly life that we might, see the Lord come and make all things new. And we look forward to that day. We don't look forward to the judgment for people. We look forward to God being glorified and exalted. And in that day, everyone, he'll be known and acknowledged by everyone. Praise the Lord. And we will dwell with him and all things will be new. Praise the Lord. So as we think of this year, it could be this year that the Lord comes. I don't know. We don't know the day or the hour, but we're looking for, as Peter says, we're looking for it, right? We have a blessed hope of the Lord's return. But it's not just the world that will experience a new beginning. As true as that is, and as we think about that, there's much more than that, of course. There is the world and the universe itself and all of these things we've just been considering, but the reality is that we as individuals today can experience a new beginning right now. And I want to think about that this morning in two contexts. One, for us as Christians, and I assume everybody in the room this morning is one, as far as I know. But also for the unbeliever, of course, right? We can think about new beginnings personally as the Lord's people and as unbelievers. So let's look at our passage in 2 Corinthians 5 in context. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:14 down to 21. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." That's the gospel. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Obviously, this is speaking of the total transformation of a life of a person that comes to Christ for salvation. All things new. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The Lord is clearly in the business of making new things. With individuals, with the universe itself and the earth and the whole world. This is our God. Praise God, you know. What a precious thing. And it's such a beautiful message, right, to be able to share with people. Again, this wonderful truth that God can make all the difference in your heart and in your life. And in anyone's life, right? No one is beyond the grace of God. No one's gone too far. No one's sinned too much. No one is, you know, and lots of people struggle with that. They say, "Oh no, Mark, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done." I've had people in this town tell me that. "Oh, you don't know what I've done. Let me tell you." And I say, and when they get done telling me, and some of it's pretty bad, I say, "Well, I got good news for you. It doesn't matter. Christ has paid for it at the cross. If you'll come to him, all of that can be forgiven. And you can have a new life in Christ. And whatever we're struggling with, right, no matter what we've done, it can all become new right now. And that's true for us as Christians too, right? We struggle with sin. We struggle with different things in our lives. And whatever it is that we struggle with, whether it's the need for salvation or with a besetting sin as Christians or weakness in our life, whatever it is, the Lord can make all things new. And that's a message that we need to hear this coming year. We're not too far from God's grace. This is for all of us, right? But only God can give that new life, the forgiveness of sins, eternal hope, right? And deliver us from whatever's entangling us in our lives. That answer is only found in Christ. And you know, there's many good groups out there that help people in life, and I'm all for it. Like AA, okay? That's great. They're trying to help people break addiction, and people should take advantage of those things. That's wonderful. And that's a good thing, right? But God is the one who transforms hearts and lives. Beyond breaking addiction, beyond dealing with whatever problem we have in life, it is only God who can change the heart of man, who can give new life. That can't be done by our good works and our efforts, and no matter how hard we try, it can't be done. Only Christ can do that. New life, new beginnings, all old things passing away, everything becoming new. Isn't that something? And we can start over. We can start fresh with the Lord. That's the message of hope that we share with people. That's the message of the gospel, right? Yes, it is true that there is judgment awaiting, that there's a punishment for sin, but praise God, there's good news. The good news is you can be forgiven. You can start new with God. That's the message we have to share with people. It's a beautiful thing. It can all change now. And you know, when we trust Christ, we are changed and made new in an instant of time, in a moment of time. It's all over. The past, spiritually speaking. Let's go back and look at that just briefly here. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then in verse 21, he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what we are in Christ this morning. If we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, even though we struggle in the flesh, even though we are weak and we fall down, in Christ, I'm already perfected. I'm already righteous. I'm already forgiven. Praise the Lord. And that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to live a godly life and to keep short accounts with God. We talk about that all the time. Of course, praise the Lord, we need to do that. And yet in Christ, he's already made me new. Praise the Lord. We need to be reminded of that truth sometimes, because as we talked about on Tuesday night, right, our heart can come in and condemn us sometimes and we feel the weight of it. But I need to be reminded, as much as I need to deal with whatever is a problem in my life, I also need to remember the truth that I am in Christ. I'm a new creature in him. Praise the Lord. Our hope is in him, not in ourselves. We're not too far from grace. And you know, as we think about deliverance, you know, sometimes, and I've thought about this myself too over the years, you know, it's sometimes the Lord, you know, we think about struggles in life, right, what people deal with. Sometimes he delivers people in an instant. Some people struggle with that for a period of time in their life before they get victory over it. I don't understand why that is, but as I was thinking about this, this thought came to me. You know, it's through the struggle that we grow, don't we? As we struggle and we wrestle with things, with God, with him alongside of us, we grow. And he teaches us many things. I know that's been true in my life, you know. It's like, Lord, why can't I have victory in this area? Well, one thing is it continually drives me to his feet. It continually drives me to him, to cry out to him for strength and for help, and to realize that in and of myself, I'm not capable of living a holy life apart from the Spirit of God. So it's through the struggle of life with God alongside of us that we can grow. And when we trust Christ, we're changed and we're made new in an instant spiritually. Praise the Lord. Even though we still deal with the old man. This is the message of hope that we have, that anyone, no matter who they are, can be made new today. All of the sins of the past, all of the skeletons in the closet, everything can start new and fresh with God. And for us as Christians, it's also applicable to me as I think about the new year, you know, because there's times that we need a fresh start too, even as Christians. Oh yes, we're saved, praise God, but sometimes we need a fresh start. We need fresh surrender. We need something, you know, to get right with the Lord again. And I want to look at a couple of quick passages, Romans 6 and 4, to remind us of this. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 through 6. He says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's that word again. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So there's a responsibility that comes back to us as Christians, and the admonition is look, there's a truth of who we are in Christ. And we need to walk in that truth, right? We need to walk in newness of life. And then Ephesians 4, 22. I'm going to read three verses here, and then we'll tie these two together. Romans tells us we need to walk in the newness of life, because our old man's been crucified. We're no longer slaves of sin. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed. There's that word again, new, in the spirit of your mind. This is a message to Christians, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're being taught here that there's a reality, right? We have a position in Christ, and we have the reality that we still live in these bodies, and we struggle with the old man. And that's the wrestling that goes on in our lifetime, right? And so we're being admonished. We got to put off the old and make sure we walk in the new. Put on the new, right? And how do we do that? Well, we develop a relationship of God and a life of obedience with Him. And we draw near to Him. And we could talk about that for many hours. But, you know, we need to make Him the priority of our hearts and lives. Even as the Lord's people, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be walking in fellowship. We need to be serving Him. We need to give Him the first place. And that's putting on the new and putting off the old. We want to walk in that newness of life. And so sometimes as Christians, we need a fresh start. We can become entangled in sin. We can grow cold in our walk with the Lord sometimes. You know, we grow a little bit distant from Him. Sometimes the world can come in and steal our hearts away to a certain extent. And we can become distracted and taken up with temporary things. You know, Paul talked about that one of the men that was with him, Demas, I believe it was, having loved this present world, he's left me. You know, and so even as the Lord's people, there can be things that come in and kind of hinder our relationship with the Lord. It gives us a coldness there sometimes. We're still His people, but we're not really walking in the newness of life that is consistent with who we are. We haven't put on the new man, and we're wandering a little bit astray over here off to the side, and we need a fresh start with the Lord. We feel that He's distant from us sometimes, or we're distant from Him. The reality is, of course, He's never distant from us, but sometimes we put a wall in there between ourselves and Him. And so whether it's the world or people, you know, God can make something new of us. And as the Lord's people, we can come to Him at any time and get right with Him the same as the unbeliever comes for forgiveness of sin. We come back to the Lord and we say, oh God, renew me, refresh me, bring me back, Lord. Give me a soft and a tender heart for You. And just, you know, even as David, you know, would pray in Psalm 51, if you're familiar with Psalm 51, it's a beautiful psalm of repentance and forgiveness. You remember that David committed adultery with a woman and he had her husband killed. Pretty nasty stuff. He was confronted by a prophet and he repented and he wrote Psalm 51 coming out of that. And in that psalm, he says, God, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit or a steadfast spirit. Right? He was seeking that, and that's what we want. We want to have that right heart with God. We want to have that steadfast spirit, that new man walking with the Lord day by day and surrender to Him, letting Him be the Lord of our lives. And we need that fresh start with God. And the beautiful thing, even as Christians, we can have that when we wander astray. Praise the Lord. Everything can become new now. I know I've shared this story before, but it's such an amazing story. 4 years ago when I was in the States, in North Carolina, doing evangelism, and I met Brian. I still remember his name. He's about my age. And he was a Caterpillar mechanic, and he was outside working on his car. And so I just walked up to him and said, hey, how's it going? You know, and he says, good, good. You know, what's up? You know, so I just shared, we're out sharing good news with people. And as we talked, he looked down. He became very sullen, and he looked down to the ground. He says, well, he wouldn't even look me in the eye. He says, well, he says, I was raised in a Christian home, but I haven't been walking with the Lord for many years. And I said, but Brian, I said, I got good news for you. I said, it can all start new right now. You know that, right? Like, it doesn't matter that you haven't followed the Lord for 20 years. I mean, it matters. But what I mean to say is, in terms of starting fresh, you can start right now. You can get right with God right now, and everything starts fresh. You know? And he's like, yeah, I guess you're right, you know? And so that's the message that we have, even for Christians sometimes, when we wander away from the Lord, it can all start new right now. It's just like this buyer of the warehouse. I believe that God's like that, right? He wants the sight. He wants the heart and the permission to operate there. And He's going to build something completely new. He's not interested in, the old. That's gone. All the old things have passed away. He wants to build something new and fresh in our hearts and lives. Even as Christians, we can start new with Him. And that certainly happened with me several times in my life. I'd be right with God and wander away. And then I'd kind of come back again. And then I'd wander away a little bit and come back again. And you know, a number of years ago, in more recent history, as I got right with God, He came in and made something new. Praise the Lord. Once again, He started over with me. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Praise God. Because there's mercy with the Lord, we trust in Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing for us as Christians to know that it's not too late for us? Even though we might have wasted some time, we might have wandered away from the Lord, it can all start fresh today, right now. Praise God. He is able to do something in our hearts and our lives, just like the buyer of the warehouse. But you know, God's a perfect gentleman, and he doesn't force himself on me, I believe. I have to cooperate with him, even as Paul says, put on the new, put off the old. Allow God to work in your heart. He's already there. He's willing. He's able. Back in 2008, we sold our farm. We had a beautiful little hobby farm, 55 acres, rolling hills, pastures. I had cows, I had horses, spring-fed pond, and a really old farmhouse built in the late 1800s. It still had the hand-hewn timbers, you know, and the forged nails. It was a really old house, and it wasn't in great shape. But, you know, when we saw the property, we just fell in love with this place. And we bought it in the year 2000, and we lived there for about 8 years. And we just loved it. And even though the house was kind of old, and there wasn't anything straight in that house. I mean, every floor, you know what I'm saying, one of these really old homes, right? Half of the foundation was the old field stone. The other half had sunk about 2 feet into the ground. So we had to re-level the whole house. But we didn't care. We just loved it there. Anyway, the time came that we had to sell that house. And, you know, we had a number of buyers come in. And the guy who actually bought it, he came in and he looked at that old house, and his daughter was with him that night. And his daughter said to Dad, look at this beautiful old house. Look at the handrails. Look at the banisters. Look at the woodwork. And it's true. It had some of those things, right? We were thinking, is she nuts? This house is a wreck. This house should be bulldozed, you know, because it's just in such bad repair. But she saw beauty in it. So he bought the property for us. He brought in a house inspector, and I remember the day because I was there and the house inspector was telling him, oh yeah, it'll be no problem to level up this house. And I'm thinking, you're crazy, buddy. Whatever. Anyway, he bought the house. He tried to fix it. It failed. Today the house is gone. He took it down. We still go there because our really good friends live next door. So we still get to see the farm from time to time. We did at Christmas this year. About a year or two later, even though he did put money trying to, when he actually tried to raise the house, it actually broke the thing in half. He would have been better just to leave it. And he had to take it all down. He built a brand new house. But you know, that's like the Lord, right? He wants the site. He's interested in the property. He's not interested in trying to fix up that old thing. And sometimes we come along and we think through our own efforts, through our own strength, that somehow we can, you know, through our resolutions, we're just going to be better people this year because we have willed it so, and yet we're just messing around with that old structure. That's all we're doing. We're trying to jack up one side of it, make it a little bit better. But God has something far more in mind. He wants to wipe it out and start something new and fresh in our lives. Praise the Lord. He can do that. Psalm 146 verse 3 says this, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Don't put your trust in people. And that includes me. As I read the psalm the other day, I was thinking, yeah, that's me too. I'm a son of man. So are you. Don't put your trust in a son of man in whom there is no help. But what? His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help and whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, I can come to the Lord today even if I know him as a Christian and I've wandered away. Even if I'm not saved, I can come to him today and my hope can be entirely in him. Lord, I don't have what it takes. I can't make myself new, but I know that you can. And you can give me a new heart and you can make a change in my life. And I'm coming to you and I'm trusting in you, God, that you're going to do that because I want you to do it. And I guarantee you something. If you ask the Lord to do that sincerely, he will. That's a prayer he will answer. Guaranteed. He doesn't turn people away who come to him and say, Lord, make me new. Make me more like the Lord Jesus. He answers that prayer. So today, for us, as we begin 2017, I don't know what state you're all at. That's between you and the Lord. But I would encourage you, whatever's going on in your life, we can commit it to Christ. We can start fresh with that. Maybe you've got something going on you know that shouldn't be there. And you can turn that over him and say, Lord, I've got no power over that, but you do. And so I'm asking you to change my heart, God. Make a new heart in me, a steadfast spirit. Take that from me, oh God. Give me grace. Give me help. I want to be changed today. I want to start over with the Lord. I want 2017, Lord, to be about you. And I want you to have complete control of my life. And he can come and make all things new. Praise the Lord. And as he does that in our individual lives and hearts, we also have hope. Understanding, I believe the time is short. I don't think we're going to be around for another 250 years. I really don't. I think the Lord's coming, and I think the signs of it are everywhere. He's going to make things new in this earth as well. He's transforming hearts and lives. He's going to transform this earth. Praise the Lord. We have so much to be hopeful in Christ today, beloved. Let's hope and trust in Him alone. Father, we thank You that, Lord, You are the one who makes all things new. Lord, it is not the arm of man which has strength, but, oh God, it is You. Lord, as in individual hearts and lives, Lord, You transform hearts, You transform lives, You take all the old things that we once were, Lord, and You make it all new in Christ, and we bless You for that. And Father, I thank You that even as Your people this morning, Lord, and You know the heart of each one here, that we can come to You, that we can have a fresh start if the need be. And Lord, we pray You would give us grace for that. Lord, help us to surrender to You this year afresh. Lord, that 2017 would be about the Lord in each of our hearts and lives as individuals. Lord, as a church, we pray, oh God, that You would lead us forward, that You would be our strength, oh God, that You would lead us and guide us each step of this journey, Father, that You would build Your church, that You would add to it, and that You would bless. And Father, we think of those who don't know You outside of Christ. Father, we have friends, we have family members, we have acquaintances, Lord, each of us here, who don't know You. And Lord, we pray, oh God, that You would save lives this year, that You would bring many sons to glory, and that, Lord, You would give us opportunity, Father, to share with those around us. But Father, in every case, we know that it is Your work and not ours. And Lord, as we think of the future state, Lord, of the coming of the Lord, of the new heavens, of a new earth, which will someday come, Lord, again, we understand that You are the one who will do this work. Father, it is not the nations, it is not our governments, Lord, who have forsaken You, but it is the Lord our God. And so, Father, our hope is in You today. And Lord, may it ever remain so. Father, happy is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Father, make us happy in You, I pray, in 2017. Father, we just commit ourselves to You this day. We ask for a blessing. We thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing in this world and in our lives. And we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you could all come today. Tuesday night, as a reminder, I will be away because I'm going to a little mini conference in Moncton, but Pierre will be here on Tuesday night, so it'll be normal schedule for the week.